The Jeffrey Epstein sex trafficking scandal did not end with his death. The story keeps evolving, and we're going to hear now how one newspaper came to question the ethics of one of America's most powerful lawyers. Relying on an informant who later disappeared, the New York Times launched an investigation into attorney David Boies, who represents some of Epstein's alleged victims. NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik looks at the story behind the story.
Initially, everyone was hungry for material about Epstein. After all, Epstein had ties to so many powerful men. The informant went by the pseudonym Patrick Kessler. He claimed he had been an IT consultant for Epstein.
He also claimed to have not just videos, but all sorts of electronic communications and bank records and things like that.
David Enrich is the business investigative editor for the New York Times.
That provide this supposedly unvarnished, very detailed inside look inside of Jeffrey Epstein's life and finances.
Kessler provided tantalizing allegations about Epstein's famous friends when he met with reporters for the first time at David Boies' office. An hour later, the story would completely change. Kessler texted a Times reporter separately. They met in the back of a Chinese restaurant later that afternoon. Here, reporters Emily Steele and Jake Bernstein on the Times TV show The Weekly.
But then he told us something else, and this was about the lawyers.
He said, "What do you think of David Boies?"
New York Times investigative reporter Jessica Silver Greenberg was part of the team. She had been thinking hard about the lawyers circling the Epstein scandal.
We were intensely interested in the universe of people, powerful men, that had potentially enabled Epstein and allowed him to continue to allegedly abuse women for decades.
Silver Greenberg tells NPR that some lawyers representing Epstein's accusers were enablers, too. Boies was prominent among the lawyers for Epstein's alleged victims, and Silver Greenberg says he was already on her radar. The Times had big ambitions and high hopes for the story. Again, Emily Steele on the Times TV show.
If true, this not only could crack open the Epstein story, but it also might expose how two of America's most prominent lawyers were talking about plans that would keep evidence of abuse secret.
The two lawyers they focused on were David Boies and his friend Stan Pottinger. Pottinger exchanged text messages with Kessler, the supposed informant. In those texts, published by the Times, Pottinger tells Kessler lawyers could get the friends of Epstein, who are supposedly on the videos, to pay big settlements. Accusations of sexual misconduct could be kept secret, and the lawyers could get hefty payouts. On the Times TV show, Enrich presses Boies about the texts.
But listen, we're trying to understand if there's a way to interpret this other than the way that it looks to us.
And what I'm saying is that these aren't my text messages, okay?
Boies says he had no idea what Pottinger was telling Kessler. Enrich tells me he thinks that's true, that Boies had no idea what was in the texts.
He was visibly surprised to see them, and I think visibly upset to see them. He says that he did not intend to do what Stan Pottinger said they were discussing doing. And I think I can give him the benefit of the doubt on that.
Pottinger told the Times even those hypothetical scenarios were made up. He told the paper he was trying to get Kessler to share his material and that he informed the FBI of Kessler's claims. None of this stopped the New York Times from doing the story or from focusing it largely on Boies. It ultimately devoted 5,400 words in an hour-long TV show to its exposé. The reporters relied on Kessler, the informant, to generate a tale of deceit, greed, and complicity, even though they concluded Kessler was a liar and though they failed to connect Boies directly to wrongdoing.
What I think is not fair journalism is to somehow imply I was involved in what was being discussed when the Times knows and has acknowledged that I didn't even know about those text messages until they showed them to me.
NPR sought comment from Pottinger four times without success. David Boies tells NPR the Times wrongly folds him into suggestions of blackmail and fraud.
And while it is true that the Times doesn't explicitly say I was deceitful, for them to put that in the article that is about me without making clear that they're not making that allegation about me is, I think, quite misleading.
The Times reporters concede they have no evidence Boies sought to profit. Now they tell me that doesn't matter. They say their story shows what plaintiffs' lawyers are doing when they think no one is looking. And let's pause to acknowledge why the Times found Boies newsworthy. Again, Emily Steele and David Enrich of the Times on the TV show The Weekly.
For a while, he was kind of lauded as the modern-day Atticus Finch.
Litigating some of the country's most famous cases, whether it's Bush v. Gore or the Microsoft antitrust case or gay marriage before the Supreme Court.
David Boies is a legal legend, but a damaged one, thanks to his involvement in a pair of scandals. First, the fraudulent blood testing company Theranos, where Boies served both as an outside lawyer and a corporate director. Second, Boies was a lawyer for the disgraced producer Harvey Weinstein. He hired ex-spies for Weinstein, who monitored and misled reporters for the Times. Those scandals fueled the Times' interest in Boies. And what of Kessler? Who is he? A scam artist? An extortionist? A plant designed to discredit the lawyers? The Times journalists say they tried in vain to figure out who he was, but never thought to hold off until they did. Despite that question mark, they wouldn't let the story go, even though their chief source turned out to be, in their own words, a liar. David Folkenflik, NPR News, New York.